Bibles, and I hope you do. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Of course, it's in the Old Testament, or a Jew would call it the Tanakh. We call it the Scriptures. Nehemiah chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. I asked them concerning the Jews had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Father, bless your holy word now. In thy name I pray, amen. You can be seated. Nehemiah is serving under a Persian ruler. This Iran was Persia for centuries. It's an ancient country. 632 AD, Muhammad died. And when he died, a struggle ensued about the power and control of Islam. It broke into two factions, Sunni and Shia. The Shia Islam, the Shia Muslim, has controlled Iran for some time now. And of course, you understand there's a dogfight going on right now, war over all of that. But bear in mind that the Muslim is an interloper. He has moved in. That is the land of the Persian. These are Persian people. They've been there for a long time. In the Old Testament, this Artaxerxes, who was the king of Persia, was a friend of Israel. He allowed them to go back and rebuild their walls, their temple, restore the priesthood. So therefore, the Almighty used him. Was he a perfect man? Of course not. If God only used perfect vessels, wouldn't there be anyone around to use? So no, of course not. And if you put yourself in a bubble like that, you're in a mess. Oh yes, he used a Gentile Persian ruler. And he allowed him to be the one who let Nehemiah rather, here in the text, to go back. He was burdened because of what he had heard about his people. It moved his heart, it moved his soul, caused him to grieve. He began to pray, began to fast. And of course, this is what happens when a man has a real connection and a burden with the work of the Lord. He couldn't stand the thought that the walls, my friend, were broken down, the gates were burned, the temple had been torn down, was destroyed. And we know by history that in 722 BC, the 10 tribes in the north were essentially busted up, carried off into Assyrian captivity. The two southern tribes, 586 BC, from the Babylonians, were carried off into Babylonian captivity. Under Solomon, because of his apostasy and because of his debauchery and because of his absolute incompetence, the kingdom was split upon his death. And his son Rehoboam was given good counsel, but he wouldn't listen to it. He listened to the young men. Because of that, he heaped the burdens upon the people, and they rejected Rehoboam, and they rejected his authority, and there the split started. And there's always a Satan around to step in, and his name was Jeroboam. And he took 10 of the tribes in the north and established a false priesthood and raised up all kinds of garbage. We'll get into a whole lot of stuff like that, but I'm trying to lay a foundation for you there this morning so you can understand. Under the Davidic kingdom, David was anointed 3 times as the king of Israel, the only one in the Bible, and the only one in the Bible whose name is David, a man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was the only king that Israel ever had that could bring them all together. And David did that. He brought them together. Solomon dispersed them. And so in my estimation, I think it's very easy for you to understand In my estimation, in my book, David was a great king. No question about that. And so the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. When we get into the royal lineage of the Lord Jesus and his reign upon this earth, he comes as a son of David because of the sure mercies of David, because of the prophecies and the promises that God gave to David. And our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. He will come, folks. A lot of folks this morning are giving up on the second coming of Christ. Folks, he came. He came the first time. He will undoubtedly come the second time. No doubt about that whatsoever. And I look, he may not come in my few years, my few short years on this earth. That's okay. He's going to come anyway and get me. Whether he comes and catches us up at the rapture or whatever, I'm ready to go, whichever way it is. The Lord will take care of that part, no doubt whatsoever. But while Israel was in captivity, God raised up men. Here he raises up Nehemiah to rebuild the walls. He also raised up Ezra to restore the priesthood that needed to be restored. And then he raised up Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple itself. We read about Zerubbabel and Ezra in the book of Ezra. And we read about Zerubbabel in the book of Zechariah. And we read here about Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah was coming back to the land to rebuild it, he had enemies, and they laughed at him, and they laughed him to scorn. They made fun of him. They said, there's no way in the world that you're ever going to be able to restore what had been there. And this one was Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom the Arabian. And then we have one there as a Moabitess, and they came against him. And here's what he said to them. He said, let me tell you something. The reason that you're coming against me and you're coming against what we're trying to do to rebuild this is because you have no part. You have no lot. You have no name. You have nothing in this. You don't belong to it. And that's the truth. And it's still the truth. It's still the truth to this day. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've got a part. I've got a lot. I've got a name. I've got an identity in the church of the living God. Amen. I want to see it prosper. I want to see it blessed. I want to see the Spirit of the living God move throughout the house as he did in this house this morning. Once you get used to this, and I don't know if you ever get used to it, but once you've eaten at this table, once you've drunk from this, my dear friend, you'll never be satisfied with dead, dried up religion again. You'll find a place where you can get a place where you can get a place with God and let the Lord move in your heart. Amen. So that fed my soul this morning. And it was a wonderful thing. But they did fall. And the town lay in ruins. And it did, of course, God prophesied. He told them through Jeremiah that for 70 years the land would lie dormant. And they went into apostasy. They went into all this and they went being warned and preached and trying to tell the people to get right with God, and they wouldn't do it. And so they slid, I guess you might say, into the mess that you find them in the book of Nehemiah. It's a fallen condition. And then, my friend, and because of that, some people rejoiced, but others wept. I see churches today closed down. In this town, you got buildings that are closing down. People tell me all the time, they say, preacher, did you know that 50 years ago this church had revival after revival and God was in it? I had a brother tell me one time, he said, oh, we used to sit up at night and listen to them singing up there. And there's just something coming out of that building that was different. And now what's happened? God hadn't changed. The word of God hadn't changed. The blood hadn't changed. No, Christ hasn't changed. The power of God is the same as it's always been. What changed? We changed. That's what's changed. Men no longer hunger for that which is good. They no longer hunger for that which is blessed. They no longer hunger for that which will feed their soul. They turn to garbage. Half the men in the churches in this town, half the men in the churches in this country are hooked on pornography. My friend, you know as well as I do, you're dead and you're dying. And you pray and you try and you try. And let me tell you what's happening to you. The very life is being sucked out of your soul. Did you know that Bible says if you commit adultery, fornication, you sin against your own soul? Do you understand the connection that sexuality has to do with your identity? Do you understand how important it is that when God says, thus shall a man cleave unto his wife, they twain shall become one flesh? You realize what God's talking about when he says that? That's right. This is Solomon's down to 700 wives, 300 concubines. My goodness, friend, what is garbage is that? And so what do we have today? We've got a nation today that have men trying to be women, women trying to be men. They've lost their sexuality. They've lost their identity. Where does it come from? It comes from God. And you can never have a good marriage. You'll never love your wife the way you should love your wife. Some of you women are hooked on pornography too, and you'll never love your husband. Love is gone. Isn't that a sad thing? So much has fallen around us. Don't let yours fall. Take a warning from what I'm saying to you this morning. Listen to God. Don't let that garbage teach you what life is about. They don't know anything. They're twice dead, plucked up by the... They're as ignorant as they can be. I've watched them for almost 80 years. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They're dead. Here's the book of life. This tells you where joy is located. This tells you where peace can be found. This tells you where your burdens can be lifted. This is the book that we live by, not that garbage. They don't intimidate me. They don't move me. No, dear friend. No, I think that's coming across, isn't it? Lord of mercy. I'm so sick of that crowd. Their condescending, patronizing attitude toward you, like they know something you don't know they don't. Thanks God. Thanks be unto God, though, for his unspeakable gift. Matthew chapter number 23 and verse 37 says this. If I just wear out and collapse, just kind of roll over with me. And I'll get back up in a minute. Matthew chapter number 23 verse 37. Here's what he said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Now watch this. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Oh man, that's a heart talking. He's not talking theology here. He's talking from his heart. He's not up preaching to a bunch of people. He's standing there looking at the city. And he said, oh, I would have gathered you together. I love you. I came for you. And the Bible said he came into his own, and his own received him not. But the Bible also says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. Thanks be unto God for that. Now think about the conditional thing here. I would have gathered you, but you would not. Now, we're not going to get off into a lot here, but I want just to start you thinking. So what does that mean? How does that apply? Where does that go? Are you listening? I would have, but you would not. You mean something could have, yes, something could have happened when he was here with them. But it did not happen while he was here with them. And so he turned to the Gentiles, to the Apostle Paul, and he called us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Well, look here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. May I give you time to get there. Matthew 16, verse 17 through 19. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Bar means son of Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You realize the foundation we have today? You realize that foundation? It's not built on Preacher Lawson. I'm here today and gone tomorrow. We're standing on a firm foundation. We better be. I'm standing on a solid rock. Amen. The gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Oh no. Thanks be unto God for that. Standing on a solid rock. Well, then why do churches close down? Because they get off the rock. And they get their eyes off of the rock. And they start exalting men and their denomination and their religion and their feel good and their money and their prosperity instead of Christ. And that's sad, isn't it? I look at some of these big buildings and as I told you a moment ago, I think, man, the people gave a lot of money to build these buildings. And imagine the tithing and the special offerings that they took up. They surely took up billions of dollars to build some of these buildings. And I'm not up here before you this morning as a hypercritic. I'm an observer. These people gave it from generation to generation. Their families were raised in these churches. Good people. And I read underneath some of the comments made by these people, and they go back for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years and say, oh yes, I grew up in that church. My family grew up in that church. My dad was a Sunday school teacher. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. What do we do? Make fun of that? No. We look at that and we say, what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? He didn't build his church on carpet. He didn't build his church on money. He didn't build his church on a man. He's not building his church on a reputation or denomination. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This church will stand forever till Christ comes to get it, as long as it's standing on Christ. I may be long gone. It may be 100 years from now. Who knows? I hope not. I hope it's not a year from now, but who knows? But whatever, the church is not me, and it's not about me. It's about Christ. I'm just one of the pastors that happened to show up here. God's been long suffering with me. Yeah, he has been for that for certain. But I'm just one of the pastors, folks, and I'll be gone if the Lord doesn't come back. This church, you will not be built on a man. It'll be built on the who are we rejoicing about this morning? What's all this about? What's this Holy Ghost about? What? Well, it's not about me. I'm trying to say something to you. There are big names around this country, and I've been at this a long time, and I've watched some of these men let people worship them, and the first thing you know, they're dead. They're gone. Well, what's the Lord going? What do you mean, what's he going to do? What's he do before they showed up? And what's he going to do when they're gone? He's going to go on what he's going to do. Amen. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. You don't know how it warms my soul. You don't. You don't. You can't this morning understand how I feel. When I stand up here and I hear this kind of singing going on behind me, and I mean, there's power up here. Oh, boy. I mean, if you can get as close to this as I am and stand there like some of you. What do you have for breakfast? Whatever it is, you need to change. Well, maybe it's what you had for supper last night. And you can't feel that? Oh, boy, that's good. Do you think? Now, nations can fall. Kingdoms can fall. The church will never fall. But what about you? Look over here in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Now, Peter, well qualified to say this, don't you think? When he talks about somebody will never fall. Because we know Peter. We know what happened to him. And I love Peter. Don't you run Peter down. I love Peter. I have the greatest respect in the world for him. You better believe I do. Because he knew what it was to come back. Oh, yeah. And that happens to us. And your best plans are made. You got your life all set before you. I mean, you're going to live for the Lord. You're going to dedicate yourself to God. And then something happens. And you're not prepared for it. And it can knock you down. It can jerk the foundation out from under you. That's right, it can. And you may be there this morning. It may be that's what's happened to you. Well, I'm not making fun of you. I'm a minister. I'm up here to help. I'm pouring in oil and wine. And say, let's say you have been knocked down. Let's say it came from a place you never expected. Let's say it came from the church. Let's say it came from good religious people. Wherever. It can come from 1,000 different places. And you weren't ready for it. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Well, the Bible said, you that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also. There's something about introspection. Self, looking at self the right way. Introspection, to look inside, to look deep down. And this is what Peter takes us to. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. The apostle said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now notice carefully, We're going to be adding things, and it is a progression. These are important. We're adding to, and it is a progression. In plain words, you're building a foundation. You're starting from scratch, building a foundation, and as you build, you're progressing. Amen. Now look at this. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So who are we talking to here? We're talking to believers, aren't we? Absolutely. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Can you believe a blind believer? And cannot see afar off, living for the moment. See, this is what happens here. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, he wants you to understand, you have a past. Now, I've told you me about my, I haven't given you all the detail, I'm not about to. No man on the face of this earth will ever hear everything I've ever done. God knows. But I came out of hell. I came out of a dark hole. I know where I came from. Yes, sir. I know where I came from. And he said here, now watch this. Hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Now look at this. To make your calling and election sure. What's he saying? He's saying, now you look at what I'm saying here. Take a good deep dive into it. Whether you're really saved or not. That's what he's saying. This is checking into your foundation. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things. Now look at this. Look at this promise. Ye shall never fall. In the last 2 years, big name after big name after big name in this country, preachers have fallen. Am I gloating over that this morning? Lord, have mercy, no. No. Let that man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, a lot of these men I'm talking about were more accomplished, if you look at things like that, smarter. They had built and this and that and so forth and so on than I ever had. Yet they fail. And once you fall, we'll always be around to pick you back up. If you're out there and you've fallen and nobody will take you, come on through those back doors. You're welcome. You're welcome in here. You are. But you'll never forget it. That's human nature. Right? Right. That's human nature. But you, by the grace of God, can build a relationship with people past the fall. Now, you following me on that? The Bible said, God giveth grace to the humble, but he resisteth the proud. You don't know why that you cross all the T's and dot all the I's. We've got the biggest offering in town, the most beautiful building around. You've got an orchestra. You've got the music. You've got everything in the world except the power of God. You know why? Because you're full of pride. You're full of pride. Amen. Now, I want you to look at this text with me. We'll come to a close this morning. I won't keep you all day, but I will, a couple of things I want you to see here. He uses New Testament written in Koine Greek, so I'll go to the Greek with you a little bit. Virtue. Arete is the Greek word. Now here's what that word means. Uncommon character, worthy of praise, excellence of character. In other words, start with a foundation of who and what we are. Now what is character? It's somebody that keeps his word. It's somebody that does not seek to harm others. A person that gives considerations to another's opinions. You ever talk to somebody and say, I don't hear what you got to say? I know it all. They're around. They don't have to say it in words, but they give you that spirit. And then look for ways to help and not hurt. That's what this word means. It says the building of character. Now, Homer, some of you know, he was an old ancient Greek poet. Well, he was Greek. He used the Greek word, and he used it to talk about military commanders. He used this word to talk about military commanders. What do you mean by that, preacher? He said it in the sense that men who go and die on the battlefield will follow a leader that has character. If a man follows a man, you got yourself a man. Men don't follow just anything. All right, how many are following me here this morning? You got a hold of this? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can, but anyway, when you have that element about your character where men trust you and they believe in you and they follow you, then that's what virtue is about. Do you have anything like that in your character? Number two, the word knowledge. Notice it says here, add to your faith virtue, and then virtue knowledge. The Greek word gnosis, you've heard that 1,000 times. Gnosis means to know, but it's found in the context. In other words, if I use gnosis here, what does it mean here? How's it used here? If I use it there, how's it used there? And it's remarkable. Let a man be faithful, one of the old saints said. Let him be able to expound knowledge. Let him be wise in the interpretation of discourses. Let him be energetic in deeds. Let him be pure. For the greater he seems to be, the more he ought to be humble. And the more he ought to seek the common advantage of all and not his own. That's a knowledge that is the gift from God to know to how interact with people, relate to them, and let a person know that they mean something, that they're worth something, that God's got a place for them, and then relate to them. Because you see, we all have individual lives, every one of you. No two people in this house live the same life. Remember many times I've told you, there are no two people that are identical. We're all individuals, every last one of us. And so therefore, we are complex beings, and there's only one who can read the soul. And the Holy Ghost is the one we need to give us this knowledge. And to knowledge temperance, egkratae, restraint of one's emotions, impulses, desires, self-control. And that is so needed. I confess, I'll be the first one in here this morning to confess, I got a temper. I do, I'm sorry. You just have to suffer with it. And that's got me in trouble more than once. Sure has. Marine Corps let me know real fast what my temper would get me into, boy. They say, come on, son, you want to get hot, I'll give you a roll right ahead. We'll take care of you. They love it, boy. Some of you boys sitting in here, someone say, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do, join the Marine Corps. I'm tough, you join the Marine Corps. Yes, sir, I'm a tush hawk, you join the Marine Corps. You'll find out. But anyway, That temperance, restraint, self-control. We ought to exercise that, shouldn't we? That's part of growing now. This is the development as you begin to develop. Then we have patience. Hupomone, the capacity to hold out, to bear up in the face of difficulty. Patience, endurance, fortitude, steadfastness, perseverance. Aren't these wonderful things? You ever met anybody like that? This is what we should be. These are the things that begin to build and develop in our life. Does the Bible tell me somewhere that Christ is formed in us? Would you say that the Lord Jesus had all of these attributes? Would you say? In other words, would you say that he is the perfection? Yes, sir. Any attribute, anything in the Bible that we are and we try to be and we do, he perfects it. He's the perfection of it. That's what that means. Patience. To hold out, bear up in the face of difficulty. So, I have to confess again. Here I am. I'm not the greatest patient person. No, sometimes I'm just not. And God says, okay, son, that's all right. Tribulation worketh patience. I'll send a little your way. Aren't you glad the Lord loves you? And when you need patience, he'll send a little tribulation your way. I done learned a long time ago, don't ask for it. I'll leave that to the Almighty when he chastens those that he loves. Then godliness, that's a good one. Eusebia, awesome respect accorded to God, devoutness, piety. Isn't that something? It's just something about a person you get around and you say, you know something, I can't put my finger on it, but they love the Lord. You ever been around anybody like that? They love the Lord. There's just something about them. I know they're not perfect, who in the world, but there's just something about them. And it just seems like sometimes their head's up here in the clouds. Well, keep it up there, glory to God. Sometimes that's where you need to be. Get your head up in the clouds. Get them up there, looking at the one. See, the Bible says, look not at the things which are seen, things which are not seen. Things which are seen are temporal, things not seen are eternal. Amen. We live by faith, walk by faith. And so, brotherly kindness. You'll all know this word, Philadelphia. Did you know that was pure Greek? That's a Greek word, Philadelphia. Phileos, Adelphos. Adelphos is man. Phileo is one of the Greek words for love. So it is the love of man, the love of mankind. He's a humanitarian. He gives to people. He doesn't see a body. You know, it took me, God, I don't know what's going on, but I don't see your body anymore. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. I got a spirit being standing before me in a body. There's a person in there. You got a life. You got an identity of your own. I want to relate to that. I want to minister to that. Amen. Got something needed in your body? Go look up good old doc. He'll take care of that. But we're talking about you, the spirit. There's something precious and different about that. I can't explain it. I can't put my hand on it. I can't put in words. But there's just something about it that anymore I just look past the flesh. Look at the person. There's a person standing there before me. There's a person there. And the person is not that body. The person is not that flesh. And then finally, and he says, charity. Now, guess what word that'd be? You know, agape. Yeah, the verb form, agapeo. Agape is the noun. Agapeo is the verb. Agape, what's that? That's the love of God. The love of God. Now here's what John says. 1 John 4:9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son to the world that we might live through him. This is only one of many passages in the New Testament that make reference to the love of God. Amen. Aren't you glad that you serve a heavenly Father who looks out for your spiritual welfare? And he that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He has started something in you. Don't fight against him. He never asks you. The Holy Spirit's work has never been, well, now you tell me what you think you need to grow and, kind of explain to me. No, God doesn't. He's not interested in what you think about anything. It's the Holy Spirit's work in you to form Christ in you. And the more that Christ is formed in you, the less of you is you. He wants Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants men to see the Lord Jesus, and not you, not me. He wants me to lift up Christ. He wants me to preach Christ and him crucified. He wants me to preach his blood. He wants me to preach his cross. He wants me to preach his death, burial, and his resurrection. He wants me to preach his second coming. He wants me to preach that he's Lord God Almighty. He wants me to say, and I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You know why he does it in righteousness? Because he's qualified to now. Amen. Live that sinless, perfect life. The righteousness of Christ. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Well, you think you're a holy preacher? No, sir, I know I'm not. Well, you think you're a righteous preacher? No, sir. The Bible, the Old Testament tells me what my righteousness is. Oh, no, no, no. The Apostle Paul said, not having my righteousness, but the righteousness which is by faith, it is his righteousness. He's the righteous one. If we could just get that together and start at square one, the Holy Ghost will be free to move here. Amen. And I'm not saying he's not. He's moving here. Amen. Let's not grieve him. Right. Let's not quench him. Don't start pecking around on each other and, you know, bad-mouthing each other. I don't know of any of it going on right now, and so I'm going to nip it in the bud. Get it before it starts. Amen. Pray one for another. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Love each other. Pray for one another. You don't know what kind of life they're going through. People are good at putting a front on. They come in here and they make you think, well, you know, pride does a lot of that. But the truth of the matter is, there's nobody in this house that knows exactly everything that everybody's going through. And everybody's got problems. And you may be in this house this morning, glory to God, and everything's good, and you're on a mountaintop. Hallelujah, I'll shout with you. But this week, something may happen, and you'll be in a valley like you didn't know existed. Father, bless your word. Perhaps said something, Lord, that's helpful, instructive, inspirational, encouraging. Give them direction. Preach Christ. Lord, I believe they pretty well understand. I'm the preacher. I am what I am. I am who I am. And I'm where you put me. And I'm preaching your word. But that's all I am. I'm just the messenger. Just the messenger. You're the power. You're the glory. You're the one who saves. You're the one who does the delivering. You're the one. And it's upon thy name that they call. In Jesus' name. And heads are bowed. Nobody looking. Say, Preacher Lawson, pray for me. And I want to pray for you. If you'll raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Right now, just take a minute. All right, hands up. Father, I pray for these hands now, Lord. You know their heart. You know their heart. If God be for them, who can be against them? Lord, if I have the right Holy, if I have the Holy Ghost in me, and I have the right Spirit in me, I am for them and not against them. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, I ask it. Help them now. In your way, the way you do it, you're the only one that can speak to the soul. In thy name I pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up in here this morning.